Well, good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for once again allowing us to join together and to meet in this time of prayer. And Lord, as we look at the prayer for us, the future unbelievers in the great high priestly prayer, the verses of 20 to 26 in John 17. Lord, what love you show for us, the desire for unity, and the desire to be one with you, for you to share your glory with us, and for you to be with us and us with you forevermore. Oh, what a glorious thing. So lead us this morning in this time of prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought we might sing I Love to Tell the Story this morning because it's that story that of the unseen things above of Jesus and his glory and his love for us. And that's what we really have encapsulated here, or summarized here in these seven verses ending this great high priestly prayer in John 17. So I love to tell the story. So, Jesus has been praying in verse 11 for the disciples. Now, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And so, we see the continuing theme here as we get into the prayer for us, the future believers, for unity. Over and over again, Jesus is praying for unity. And so in verse 20, now he shifts to the future after having prayed for the disciples that they may be sanctified by the truth. Your word is truth. He says, I do not pray for these alone, meaning the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that's us, that's you, that's me, that's Jesus praying for us, the future believers. And he's not praying out of, well, I hope a few will come to the Lord. He's praying knowing that through the word of God, people will come to the Lord. All those who the Father has chosen, called, and those who receive will come to him. he is saying who will come to the Lord through their word, who will believe. Then in verse 21, we have the word that. That means that, of course, when we see, I pray that, it means this is what I want to happen. This is why I'm praying that that would happen. And in these few seven verses here, that is used 13 times. So you want to see what Jesus is praying for you and for me, just look at the 13 that's and then see what's after them. That's what he's praying for. So the first that says, that they all may be one, that they all may be one. So that means unity, right? The Lord hates dissension. In Proverbs it says, these six things I hate, and then seven. I hate dissension. I hate discord. I hate division. He wants unity. So as he looks at us, as he looks at the body of Christ, how, in a sense, grieving that would be, or certainly to the Holy Spirit, that we are not in unity, but that we are in contention with one another. So the first prayer there is that they may be one. And then what is the standard for that unity? It's as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. So notice that standard of unity. The unity that he's praying for you and for me as believers is the same unity as he has with the Father. Can you envision that? That's what he's praying for. So how are you doing on that scale? How unity-minded are you? How unified are you with the body of Christ? But that's the first petition, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So that's petition number one. Petition number two, that they also may be one in us. So what does that mean? He is praying for you to be so close to him that that closeness is the same, again, as the Father is to the Son. That's pretty close, isn't it? How's your relationship with the Lord? How close are you to him? Well, I don't think I could ever say anybody could be as close as the Father is to the Son, but that's his prayer for us. If that's what he's praying for us, do you think his prayer is capable of being answered? And of course, we know yes. So that's the second petition, that we believers may also be one in the Lord, in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit, as they are one. And then thirdly, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the prayer. Through us and through our testimonies in part, of course through his word, that the world, the wicked world, may believe that the Father sent the Son. How many of the world's 7 billion people do you think believe that the Father sent the Son today? Probably not a great number, would you think? I mean, maybe a great number, but certainly not not billions and billions. They believe in something else, either no God at all or the God of Allah or the God of Hindu or Buddhist or whoever. But here, that the world may believe that the Father sent the Son. And then notice this, verse 22, and the glory. Can you envision what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about his glory? I'm at loss to really understand the ability to explain the glory of God or the glory of Jesus Christ. But and the glory which you, Father, gave me the Son, what? I have given them. Now, can you imagine the depth of love in that statement alone, that the glory which the Father gave the Son has been given to us? How much of that have you received? How much of that are you aware of, really? But the glory that you gave me, I have given them. And again, then that, what? What's the purpose of that? That they may be one, just as we are one. Again, we are to receive his glory, to be one with him and one with the Father, because he's holding nothing back from us. He's giving us everything. That they may be one, and here's that as again, the second comparable there, Father, Son, just as we are one. And then verse 23, I in them and you in me. Again, there's another relationship between the Father and the Son that he's praying for us. I in them and you in me, that what? They may be perfect in one. So the body of Christ, the body of believers, is to be perfect in one. In other words, perfectly unified. And then there's another that. Why the purpose of that unity or being unified? That what the world may know, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them. So when we see the church bickering, when we see believers bickering, fighting, bringing lawsuit against each other and so forth, isn't that a horrible, horrible witness? Because that is the antithesis of this, that the world may know that the Father has sent the Son and have loved us with the same love that the Father loved the Son. Now here again, that's beyond our ability to understand, right? That the same love that the Father has for the Son, he is saying here that the world would see that in us, that we love and he loves us, and have loved them as you have loved me. And then verse 24, just such an awesome verse. I often think of this at funerals. Father, I desire that, there's another that, they also whom you gave me, those are the believers, that they may be with me where I am. So that's Jesus' prayer, that we would be with him where he is. Where is he now? Well, in a sense, he's here. And people sometimes say, you know, we have heaven here on earth. We do in a way, but I don't think it's heaven yet. I don't think there are battles in heaven. I don't think there's the pain, the suffering, the tears and so forth in heaven that we have here. So we're not there yet, but he desires that we would be with him where he is. Now, he's coming back, but I think before he comes back, he's going to call us to him in the rapture. But that's his prayer. Father, I desire. Now, that's a very strong word there, that desire. That's the Son of God asking the Father or expressing to the Father his strong desire or his will. In some cases, it's I will that they, but here in the New King James, it's desire translated, I desire that they, the believers, also whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and then another that they may behold my glory. That's his prayer for you and for me, to behold his glory. What glory is that? The glory which the Father has given to the Son, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. So, what does that say? He wants us to be with him where he is, to behold, to observe, to see, to know, to experience, to be part of, in a sense, his glory, which the Father has given him. Does that give you any hope? You go around, oh, life is tough and this world is terrible, I have no hope. No, if you want to dwell on this a minute, you have nothing but hope, nothing but hope. And we ought to just come out of this passage with bursting. I love to tell the story, right? Just to tell others about this. But that's a beautiful verse. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. Why and how? For you loved me before the foundation of the world.
That's amazing.
Jesus didn't come along later. Jesus didn't come along just 2,000 years ago, born of Mary. He came as a man then, in the form of a man. But Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. And now he goes to a close in this prayer, and he says, Righteous Father, O righteous Father, the world, the wicked world, has not known you, but I have known you, and these, we're talking about us, we're talking about the future believers, and these have known what? That you sent me. These have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them. How has Jesus declared to us? Through his word. These are future believers, right? But he's already making it past tense. I have declared to them. And speaking to us directly, it's not just through his word. But I have declared to them your name and will declare it. Again, in the future, past and future, all time. I have declared it and will declare it, what? That the love, he's declaring it to us for what reason? That the love with which you, Father, loved me, again, what? May be in them. That's how much he loves us. He wants the love, again, he says this over and over, the same love that the Father and the Son have, the same closeness that the Father and the Son have, he wants for us. So that's his prayer. And the same love with which you love me may be in them, and then finally, abiding in him and I in them. Now, not only is he loving us, but he is in us and I in them. Isn't that awesome? So spend some time on this prayer this week or today or whenever, and just bask in it in a way. Just, may we just submerge ourselves in that and in that love that he has for us, that prayer for unity and giving us his glory that he wants us with him. He loves us so much. I mean, we just can't even understand the depth of this, can we? But we've got it in writing, and you've got it wherever you are that I have a Bible. And so may we know this and know it well. Father, we just come to you and speechless in a sense because of the greatness of your love for us. And Lord, help us to tell that story, primarily by being a living sacrifice and showing that story through our lives, and also using words when necessary, and to be in prayer more and more and more, to pray particularly for the lost and those who resist a direct confrontation, so to speak, that we've already told them or whatever. And even they say they've received the Lord in some cases, but then we see them just continue to live like the world, and they cannot really be saved if they aren't changed at all, it would seem. But Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the access. And now, Lord, here we have a few moments together just to go to prayer. And so as you would lead us, Holy Spirit, may we respond. Lead us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.